Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
With over 800,000 sold, the King's Quest series continues to be the best-selling graphic adventure ever sold. Initially available on MS-DOS, with other popular formats to follow, King's Quest IV will be the first 3D animated adventure to use Sierra's improved high-resolution graphics system. In addition to its stunning new look, The Perils of Rosella will include over 40 minutes of original music performed by television and film composer William Goldstein. This stereo soundtrack is compatible with various music cards, including the Roland MT32 sound module, the Adlib music synthesizer, and the IBM music feature.
That was quite the description.
Everybody, welcome back to Play Retro. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. This is Play Retro. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and you should try to click all my tiny little pixels.
Oh, clicky, clicky.
And I'm your other host, and I'm typing this into a text parser. You died. Sierra says, thank you for playing. Reload. No thanks.
Yeah, go left. Nope, go north.
Go north. Go northeast.
Pick up spoon.
You drowned.
Eat spoon.
Spoon.
There's a lot to talk about today in our discussion of things you probably gleaned from that intro, that weird intro commercial thing. We're talking about King's Quest 1 through 7.
Right.
We're not going beyond that. There's a lot of stuff. There's a modern game in 2016 that not a lot of people know about, but we're not talking about
there's so much more King's Quest than what we're going to discuss today. But yeah, you have to pick some kind of beginning and end, right?
Mm-hmm. And find out why they called this
the biggest adventure game ever created.
Biggest. Whoa, Brian, whoa. All right, before we get to any of that, let's talk about a couple of quick things here. During our couple weeks back discussion of Castlevania, all things Castlevania, we failed to mention a game that I think in the modern sense people might really like. If you like the old stuff, you'd probably really like this. I mentioned a bunch of them, but I missed this one. Okay. And this is a game we reviewed back on the Boop Show forever ago, but it bears repeating. Great Metroidvania creature trainer turn-based combat game called Monster Sanctuary. And this is on Game Pass, PC, and Xbox, as well as cross saves for that. So if you have Game Pass on either platform, you're good. And if you jump between the two like I do all the time, then you'll be able to carry your saves back and forth. So that's pretty awesome. It's $20 and everything else. It might even be on sale right now, so it might be worth checking. Anyway, the point is, this is like Metroidvania in terms of its like level design and unlocking new areas and getting new skills to get to those areas and those sorts of things. But the combat and the minute-to-minute sort of fighting is kind of Pokemon, except better because your shit heals when you're done, and I can't stand the way Pokemon works. So you got like a little creature and you got another little creature or whatever, and you poop those guys out during a fight, and they have different abilities, and they do a turn-based kind of JRPG Pokemon style fight, and you improve those animals or those creatures with skills and perks and stuff as you level them. And that's the combat system in a game that is otherwise kind of a Metroidvania, and it's very cool. So
it is way cool. Is this also kind of pixel art? So if you're into retro, you're probably going to like Monster Sanctuary.
Yeah, I would agree.
It has the spirit.
On Steam right now for, on sale, $6.79. What a
I'm going to buy it again. I already own it, and I'm going to just buy it again.
Yeah, I might do that for $6. Are you kidding? This is normally $20. It's 66% off. I don't know when the sale ends.
Right.
That's stupid cheap. No, it's part of their, okay, it's part of their spring sale.
It's a lot of entertainment, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm buying that game again just so I can have it there in case Game Pass ever implodes and I can't play it there anymore. I guess I got to buy it there.
They've got to keep pushing because PlayStation Plus is about to explode according to what
Look, Sony I'm excited says. About it, except that it's not day and date new games. And we also have zero idea what those games are. And also that those three tiers are weird. The initial tier is the same as what it's always been. It's just PlayStation Plus like it is now. So that means two or three games a month that you know, you can grab and who knows what they'll be. The middle tier for 15, which should be the one most equivalent to Game Pass because that's what Game Pass Ultimate costs, is what they are saying up to 400 games. That's the term. Up to
400 possible games.
PS4 and PS5, but we have no idea what those games are. They haven't said.
Right.
All we do know for sure is they're not doing day and date on new stuff. So, unlike Game Pass where, you know, I don't know, Forza 7 or Horizon 5 or it's another big one, Halo Infinite. When those big games came out, big AAA releases, they were available everywhere, but also on Game Pass as well, day one. That is not true here.
Right.
So you're not going to get the new, you know, I don't even know what old stuff you're going to get. I hope they throw cool things in there.
I'm going to say, would I be able to play Medieval? Can I play that on the PlayStation
I
there?
I have no idea because they haven't given you a list yet. So we don't know.
Right. How about Matt's? How about the Matt game?
What
Matt Mania,
Matt,
the pro wrestling game. What
maybe,
about that?
Maybe, but again, no list. But they're doing retro for the third tier. So this actually is interesting for the show's purposes. On the third tier, you're going to pay $17.99. And in that tier, you get a bunch of old PSP, PS1, PS2 games. No Vitas in there for some reason.
Right.
And so
they're trying to fight back on two fronts, right? They're trying to go against the Game Pass that is doing so well for Microsoft, and they're also trying to go against Nintendo bringing all their old stuff out, right?
Well, but also backwards compatibility on the Xbox has been pretty strong, too. So you can play a lot of old Microsoft stuff and third-party stuff out of the gate with Game Pass. Sony's been very slow to care that much about backwards compatibility. So this is a signal more in that direction. But keep in mind, a bunch of that, most of that, will not be downloadable. That's streamed shit. So if you only want to stream PSP games, then that's how you're going to have to play them.
And that's fine. I haven't looked at all the details, but hopefully it's going to be kind of like the PS Now. It is available. You can play it through
it's
like
exactly
a stream.
It's exactly that. They're marketing now. That's all that this is.
Yeah. I'm interested where they're going to go, and especially in the retro scene.
For me too. I have a lot of interest in it. I have a PS5. I really like it. I think it's missing a lot of features and services and stuff, but I really want to see them at least make the attempt to come up to parity with Microsoft on services. Right. And if they can do that, that's a whole new ballgame. But I need to see that list, and we're not going to know till June what these games
are. How are they going to beat Microsoft now that Microsoft owns every game franchise ever, including King's Quest? By the way,
because Sierra is part of the Activision stuff. That's right. Yeah, I guess they don't own it yet, but they should in the next year if things go right. When that ink dries on that deal, they'll own all of Sierra's
Zork.
Back catalog.
They'll get some Zork in there too.
Those Impressions games, city builders like Pharaoh and freaking. Oh, dude! Now,
yeah, but will they do anything with this? The question.
They might. I mean, that Pharaoh game's getting a licensed rework right now by a third party, so that's probably a separate deal that was made before any of this. But anyway, lots of fun to be had, and Monster Sanctuary rules is my point. Hey, Brian.
It does.
Tell me about all this bullshit you're buying for your Game Boy Color, because I cannot believe you're doing this stuff. What are you doing?
Okay, as you all know, Robin from Texas sent me a Game Boy Color in a fantastic condition and plenty of games to play, including a couple of Zelda titles I've never played. And, of course, as I get older and I can't see as well, I was thinking, you know what I need for this thing? It doesn't have a light. It does have a worm light that came with it.
You love the worm lights.
Yeah. But that's, you know, those things are terrible when you're trying to look at them because basically all you see is the stupid light. sitting right in your face. So I was like, oh, I need to get one of those magnifying light things. I was like, cool. So they still sell those anywhere? Nope. But they do on eBay, of course. And so I remember like Mad Catz had some, you know, remember some name brand stuff.
Sure.
Anyway, I ordered something called a survival kit. It's a Pelican Game Boy Color survival kit. Oh, and I'm holding this up to the camera right now. You may not be able to see it if you're just listening. But essentially, it comes with a flip light magnifier. It's that translucent purple that you would get. It has a data link cable so you can link up with your friends. It's got a charger and it's just got all the stuff that you would imagine that you would need for that transforming Game Boy color.
Some 90s early aughts bullshit right there in a bag.
It is, but look at it. Okay, this is probably around circa 2005. Yeah. So, you know, it's getting on 15, 17 years that this was last out. This thing on eBay is brand new. In the box, in the package, never been opened, sealed up, really tight. And I kind of don't want to open it.
Are you going to keep it mint?
I want to. It's a piece of trash. But back in the day, I would have been like, that's the low tier crap. I don't want that crap.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's almost 17 years old, and I mean, and even the blister pack, it's that hard plastic stuff. It's in perfect condition. It's not scratched up. It's not faded. It looks
like you just picked it up today at some Best Buy or something.
It really does.
How much you pay for that? What'd you pay for it?
It was about $40. I think brand new. I think it was probably like in the $25 range or something like that. So, you know, just for inflation, that's not too bad. Plus, I had to get it shipped. So I got to make that decision. Do I open this stupid thing? Because
are you going to actually use it? Are you going to put it on the Game Boy and use the big magnifier hole and all that crap? Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, if you're going to do that, then you should open that thing up and take the multiple lacerations you're bound to get from that plastic. Go ahead and do that. And then use the thing and then get video of it and stuff. Otherwise, I don't think you should open it if you're not going to plan on using it, because it is kind of a cool relic to have in mint condition.
It is kind of a cool relic. I'm almost tempted to order another one, but not like this, because I almost feel dirty, almost like I'm ruining good stock out there, because there was plenty of them that were on eBay that were like already used out of the pack, you know, had scuffs and stuff. I think I'm just going to maybe order another one that's all scuffed up.
Just hang on to this. I love it. That's awesome. Dude, I got something from Brian this week, speaking of things that came in the mail.
Oh, did it arrive?
It did.
Excellent.
Yeah, Brian sent me a C64 Mini, one of those Commodore 64 Minis. And I haven't plugged it in yet, but I freaking love it. My kids are all like, Dad, can I have it? Can I have this one? I'm like, no, this is mine. This is Dad's. Get away. And I, you know, take it and leave and hide it.
If you haven't seen the C64 Mini, by the way, listener, it is a lot of fun. It literally looks like the C64 Brown. It's got the keyboards, but it's small, and the keyboard doesn't actually function, of course, but you can plug in USB, HDMI, And it brings up the basic screen, so you can do all that. It comes with a joystick, and it comes bundled with a certain amount of games.
Was that joystick in the bundle to begin with? Or no, I'm sorry, in the original C64 joystick, is it based on that?
We never had one. It's the original C64 joystick. I don't remember if they sold it as a bundle with the joystick. There may have been some bundles. Mine didn't come with one, but mine was secondhand. Okay. For my dad. But it looks like, but it is a really cool little, if nothing else, it looks really cool on the shelf, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I found the original here. It's a little different than that original.
That one looks a little bit different. You're right. It felt like the original to me.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of awesome.
It's been so long since I've
seen
those.
Oh, look at this, how it used to be packaged. You got to see this. So you're looking at the stream here.
That's got it.
Used to come is in this like cool little plastic dome.
Oh yeah, the dome, the pyramid, like it's got made out of power or something. Oh, is that the one? That's the joystick with the games on it. They sold one of those for a while. I don't remember those. It was preloaded with the games.
Is that what that is? Oh, it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26 games. You're right.
But that's pretty cool too, though.
What an ugly effing controller. I'm sorry.
It's a terrible, ugly controller. Just barely better than the Atari controller. It's got two buttons, one on each side. How are you supposed to use that? I guess if you're left or right-handed, you can't use both buttons, can you? I guess you could turn it towards you and kind of
I had one of these. This like almost like flight stick looking one. I had one of these.
Oh yeah.
Well,
oh
I had it for my Apple IIe is what I had it for. I didn't have a C64, but
I had the Apple IIe Pro joystick controller thing with the little turny dials. You'd remember, you remember little turny dials you had to do to like get it centered up. It would fall out of alignment. And you had to go.
Yeah, dude. Oh, those were the days. Computer, and then some. This, here's the other thing. My dad was adamant that we couldn't use the keyboards or any kind of controllers or anything for games on my Apple IIe because he said it was going to wear the thing out and he couldn't afford to buy a new one. So we never, we had to like play games on the clandestine. Like he was not paying attention. It's like,
you're going to wear it out. I love that idea.
You know, he was sure of it. It was the most like boomer ass thing to say back then.
Right. You're going to wear it out.
You're going to wear out that controller that's meant to be used that you'll never use. It's like, come on.
We're going to have to, we're going to have to use a pair of vice grips to take it out of the TV and use it on this thing. That's,
yeah, is lame.
Because that's what you used to do. That's where the generation he was from, where they would flip those dials around on the TV until you'd tear the knob off. Yeah. And then you had to take a pair of vice grips. And that was the new.
That's what we did too. New. And he would hold on to TVs until they were so long and dead. That it may there may be a possibility of a hint of an image on a TV that he would hang on to. We're like, Dad, you can't have the same TV for 28 years. You got to get another TV. So,
well, this one still works just fine.
It's a good time. All right. Well, good luck with your purple bullcrap. Okay.
Purple. Did you get your Dungeons and Dragon candy?
Oh yeah, I got that as well. Thank you for that. It's D&D nerd brand D&D things crossover. That was weird crossover, don't you think?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Where'd you
and
get
then
those?
I could get something free, but then they wouldn't let me do it.
Oh. Well, where'd you get those? Where do you find those?
Oh, those are from Walgreens. Same place I got Moon Knight. Did I mention they have family relative that works at the Walgreens?
No, that's awesome though. What do they do? Call you and go, "Hey Brian, we got weird thing today. Come buy it." Like, what?
No, I'm usually in there visiting going, "Okay, how's it going? Everything going good? I'm going to look over your toy junk and stuff. Oh, you got some candy over here. I want some candy." Yeah. That's usually how it goes.
You walk out of there.
I'm in Walgreens a lot because of that.
Do you walk out of there with one of their back vibrators? Back massager?
More like front vibrator.
Oh, for your patootie. All right, let's move on. Let's get into it, guys. We got a game to discuss.
Shall we play a game?
Do you all at home like adventure games? Do you like point and clicking and going, "Hey, I wonder if those two things combine, or wonder if this thing happens over here?" I'm actually even playing a modern version of this in a game right now called Roki. Do you remember Roki?
Oh.
A couple years old.
No. What is Roki?
Made by a Norwegian developer. It's based on some Norwegian myth and lore and stuff. Anyway, very cool one of these. But in a very modern setting, modern engine, 3D character models, and, you know, it's a different kind of approach, but it's rooted in what we're going to talk about today. King's Quest 1-7. Now, we're not going to get in super hairy detail about each one.
Right.
I think we'll probably focus
because there's
mostly
just
on
not enough time.
No, there's not
to
enough time
to get into it.
We could do a 4-part series, but nobody wants that. That's too much.
Well, soon. Yeah, soon. Yeah. We're actually probably going to eventually have to do an entire episode on 7. I think just by
maybe.
Itself, or maybe the remake.
7 or the remake, and there is a remake, which people like a lot. There's a 2016 game that's like, I don't know what you call that. That's not a remake. It's like a.
It's just a new King's Quest with chapters instead of instead of the full game coming.
But I don't think it worked out because the chapters ended or they stopped.
It's a reboot.
They stopped shipping chapters. Which I think means it didn't sell very well, is I think what happened.
I think they got through 5, didn't they? Didn't they end up wrapping it up? That's a good question because that's
I don't think they finished it up. I could be wrong, but I don't think they finished it up. We'll have to dig more into that. But we're talking about the old school stuff. We're talking 80s even here, up through a chunk of the 90s. But let's start with the first one. First of all, as a descriptor for those at home who are like, "I never even heard of King's Quest. Why don't you guys tell me about it?" King's Quest is a graphic adventure game series released between 1980 and 2016. 2016 being the one I mentioned. And that's a little misleading because there's a giant gap between the last proper one and then that.
A huge chasm.
Yeah, a huge chasm. More than like, what was the big chasm we talked about recently? Oh, Castlevania releases have been weirdly... spaced out. Like 2009 was the last like official one, and so that isn't a mobile game or something. And so this is kind of a similar thing to that. I think it kind of ran its course and all that Sierra stuff sort of paused. And then,
yeah, that's because they started it near the end there. I think after six, King's Quest six, I believe, is when they started changing hands. Sierra had gotten to a certain size. Mm-hmm. And so it was getting bought, sold, reshuffling of management and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this. This would have been 97, 98. So much later. But Sierra was the publisher of the original Half-Life game.
Right.
Boy, that's right. The fortunes have flipped there, of course, but
they really have. I used to get really excited. I remember back when I would play Sierra games, I would get so excited about seeing that Sierra Mountain logo. That was just the hotness, man. There were certain logos that would show up that you're like, yeah,
yeah,
this is quality. Like the Lucas art thing, you know, the Lucas thing with the character guy there. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Yeah. No, it meant quality. Sierra was known for a bunch of really quality products, amazing adventure games, amazing strategy and city builder games. I really hope that this purchase by Microsoft means we'll get those games.
I'm just worried they're all going to get kind of lost in the shuffle. Now we know that Monkey Island has some recent announcement with some new movement there, right?
Yeah, with the original creators, Ron Gilbert and other dude.
Right. Ron Gilbert.
Is it Ron Gilbert? What did I say?
That's right. That sounds right.
Doug Gilbert.
Doug.
I don't know. Substitute Doug whenever you don't know. But Gilbert's new project is to bring that back, and that, you know, he was on that original stuff. So that's exciting. So I don't know.
Right.
I think we say this once in a while because Telltale Games came along and they were now the go-to for modern adventure game stuff. And then tons of indies in between, like lots of cool little indie adventure games over the years. It's never left us entirely as a genre, but everyone's always going, oh, I think it's about to make a big comeback. And then it does. And then it kind of peters out a little bit, or it becomes, goes back to being a little more of a niche.
And
then it explodes again. And then the announcement of that new game, a revival to that series could be what it needs to get it going again. I don't know.
Right now. I've read some interviews with Roberta Williams, who was the creator of this King's Quest. And I think the last we saw of them in an interview was they were had a ranch in Mexico or something, or they had a place in Mexico. And she said the only thing that would really get her back into doing a King's Quest is if she could work in MMOs, because every time King's Quest came out with a new one, it always seemed like it was attached to like new technology or some a reason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not they didn't just want to like continue the story. It was always like a reason that was pushing technology or something or gameplay.
Tally says the dream of King's Quest lives on in the form of anime dating sims. Maybe
that's kind of not wrong.
It's kind of not wrong. Also, those dating sims, when they're some of them are funny, and King's Quest was known for having a pretty strong sense of humor and. So you know what? Tally's right.
A lot of puns.
I think you might be right. I mean, look, a lot of adventure game is that kind of negotiation of discussion, like clicking on, yes, that is what I want to do. And the guy saying, oh, well, great, let's go. Or saying, no, I don't want to do that. And then he kills you with a sword or whatever. Like those decisions and choices, as we look at them now, they're much more graphical and, you know, big, bold UI and all that. But back in the day, these were the early,
especially with the first King's Quest, 1984. It was made for the IBM PC Junior, right? That was I never had a chance to play that particular version, even through emulation. And
my friend had that computer, and I think he had this game, but I never got invited to go. I guess I wasn't much of a friend.
Oh, that is. Yeah. That not much of a friend at all, but it was unique because this is the first graphic adventure game that actually used animation and required you to move your character, your sprite on screen to a location. So you didn't do much of the old games where you would do like you got to go north and then you'd go
Zork. You'll see Zork, for example. It was pure text. Yeah. That was it. Everything else was in your imagination, and you had to type go north, turn left, pick up sword, whatever.
Yeah.
This game was like, still type those things, but this little dude will do what you told him to do.
Yeah. You you controlled him with the keyboard, so the go north, go directional stuff was pretty much
built in.
Not important anymore. What was more important was what you saw on screen graphically when you arrived, because it was kind of laid out like it was 3D. Of course, it's not. You got a 2D sprite character that you can move behind things, by the way. That was kind of a big thing, being able to make the character move behind something, showing you that, oh, these objects are on layers and you can be behind stuff.
Those trees are shit, by the way. Look at those trees. They're really bad.
I really kind of like the tree. Did you ever see the Homestar Runner? Translation of this game? Homestar Runner did like this homage to this type, and that's what always reminds me of that kind of art. You definitely know the person who has created these graphics, maybe not the best graphics creator, but also you got to consider what the equipment was.
Yeah, plus it got the job done. You know what? I know what it was, because back then you didn't draw. There were no tablets with pens, and you know, you didn't. That's not how this worked. You did it with like coordinates. You were like,
right.
All right, the black outline of this tree is X and then Z, and then okay, do it again, and then go longer, and then pull back, and like it was a manual shit process back then. It was really hard.
Imagine trying to draw, you know, rocks and trees and bushes, and right now on screen we got a bowl. And that's important to the story, because you gotta as you're progressing. By the way, this first game, the King's Quest I, it wasn't like the later ones where there was kind of a little bit of more linear type gameplay, where when you do this, then something else shows up. Mm. In this one, you could really fail right out. I mean, you could do something wrong and you would be in a no-win situation for the game.
Yep.
And you might not even realize that.
Yeah. It used to scare me. I remember playing this game in emulation years and years and years ago. So it's been a long time, but it used to scare me because it's otherwise kind of silent. You know, it's mid-80s.
Yeah.
No, nobody had sound cards. It didn't exist yet.
Right. Yeah, no sound cards until like, three or four. So like the first couple of ones, nothing but the PC speaker to make horrible noises
sounds
at you.
Yeah, so you'd go down there and you'd, like you just did, if you screwed something up, you'd hear, or, you know, some kind of horrible discordant squeech. Beep, beep. It was the worst. But it used to scare me, because I never saw that stuff coming until it was too late.
Do you have that sound, by the way? Because if you've never experienced that, I don't think people understand how sparse.
Listen to this. This is the intro music, which is okay.
Was that Green Sleeves?
Yeah, it's Green Sleeves for some reason.
Yeah.
So let me get another.
It's very fantasy.
He's going to go talk to the king. He just dropped his hat. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
It's really actually kind of hard to find sound.
It really is, because it doesn't happen constantly.
Yeah, it's actually kind of impossible, to be honest.
So you're playing as in the first one, you're playing, this is King's Quest, the first one, you're on a quest for the king, to become king. You're Graham, and you've got to recover three items for the kingdom of Daventry to restore the land and also become king.
Have you ever met anyone named Graham that you trusted?
Graham Cracker.
I've never met anyone named Graham who I trusted.
Anybody I've ever met, the first name was Graham.
And I knew a guy in high school, and he was not trustworthy is the problem. This guy.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, was it with an E at the end? Because this Graham had a very old English spelling to it originally.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Before they decided to name
it was,
him
for
the
me,
cracker.
It was like the cracker, which I think was G-H-R-A-H-M.
Right, right.
Whatever
so that's
is.
Probably more like the 87 version that was out for, you know, a bunch of other machines other than the IBM PC Junior.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, I never trust a guy named Graham.
Never trust a guy named Graham.
But Graham, yeah, okay, he's so getting work done, though, man. That's what Graham does. The king says something, Graham gets to work.
Graham gets to cracking.
Yeah,
he gets to Graham crackers.
Yeah,
but you know, I had never played the first King's Quest. I kind of fiddled around. I think around 7, I think, is when I had looked at the King's Quest series, and I didn't realize this was the first ones were text parsing, and it didn't have any mouse support either. Mm-mm. At least not in the original releases.
Not really.
And so you would do your adventuring through navigating your character to a certain point on the screen, and then you would type in something like look around. You do your little verb noun.
Yeah.
Open cupboard. And you get a little feedback, yeah. Maybe.
Pick up rock, yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Pick up rock. Yeah. And also, and so I was pleasantly surprised because I didn't play any animated text adventures like that text parser. I played like Quest Probe, the Marvel Quest Probe, which was had Marvel.
Yeah, that's not good. It turns out these years later, the Quest Probe stuff's kind of garbage.
Yeah, it's kind of garbage, but it was the first. You know, it was the Incredible Hulk and those kind of stories, and this. King's Quest was, you know, fantasy. And at that age for me, during the mid-80s, I was fantasy curious at movies, but it felt like it was a little more like 70s to me.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't really that much. I was more into the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah,
so
same.
I played a little, yeah.
Yeah.
Later Space Quest stuff is what I was playing. And then those... Oh, you got the Quest Probe.
Yeah,
stuff
I brought up I brought up a little bit of the Spider-Man adventure, which is
And that's just in like those kind of games. They were just they had no animation. It was just yep. Drawing of the graphical interface. Oh, Spider-Man just climbed upside down.
Yeah,
he's
on
nice.
He's on the ceiling now.
Yeah,
and
on the ceiling,
there's
yeah.
Baby barf or something on the floor there. I don't know what that is. But he
barf dithering.
This is funny because I got that Spider-Man Miles Morales remaster of the first game and then the Miles Morales PS5 game combo that's usually $70. I got it on sale this week for like 40 something.
Yeah. Did it come with Quest Probe Spider-Man? Did it?
No, but I've been playing it and it just makes me laugh how far we've come from this. Yeah, like how is this a game? Oh my gosh. It just looks really hard to play.
Yeah. But. And that's one of the biggest complaints people have who go back and play King's Quest 1. If you didn't grow up on those text parser type games, it may be so foreign and odd to you that it will just seem like this is dumb.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful and fantastic.
Yeah. It's a thing. I mean, look, you can't deny the impact that this had. And more importantly, we don't have Space Quest without King's Quest. I loved all the Space Quest games I played. I didn't play them all, but I loved them. Loved them, loved them. They were goofy as hell.
The troll.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That troll thing's great. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. Great.
These are things Brian's pointing out on the screen, listeners at home. I realize.
Yeah, I apologize. Right now, Graham is crossing a bridge. By the way, if you got to envision what King's Quest is, King's Quest is, you know, what, like 8 colors or something like that. So it's all
if you're lucky.
Real. Yeah, but it's very vibrant because they used every color they had in the palette. Yeah. And so everything's really contrasty and the characters are very simple. You kind of think of like a Jumpman from Donkey Kong. Everything is they're tall. He's taller than that. But, you know, it's all big
blocky stuff.
Blocks.
Given that, though, but even given that, if there's something charming. Really charming about how it's animated and stuff, I don't know.
It's very charming. We were mostly limited at this point by our video. I guess this is EGA, correct?
It would have been EGA, back. Yeah, not VGA yet.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely not VGA. I think we may have been EGA. No, we might have still just been CGA.
CGA was a rough
time. We were just CGA. Yeah, this is 80 something. Yeah,
85, 86,
right
that range. Yeah, so top end equipment back then might get you 64. Colors total.
64 colors. Yeah. Look out.
Now we're in the millions or the 64 million range, which I don't even think we can see with the human eye.
Oh, the chat room is angry. They're saying it's 4 colors.
Oh, so CGA is 4. EGA was how many? 16 or 8?
16.
Okay. So
I thought CGA could do 16 at a certain resolution.
Oh.
But
maybe.
Then it couldn't at a reasonable resolution. If that makes sense, it like a really crappy resolution. It could do 16 colors at the top, but generally they ran at 8 colors.
It's amazing how far that stuff's come, man. It's come so freaking far in what feels like not that much time. I know it's been a while, but that still happened really. That happened fast. And in human history, it's a blip. Like we got from CGA to where we are now, freaking 5K backlit OLED individually lit. Little balls of light on a big wide 38 inch nightmare screen for $200. Like, what have we even done? And, how have we done it?
And what are we doing? And how, I don't know how you played your King's Quest, but I played it on my nice big 4K monitor. And, And it was, it looked sweet. All 16 of those colors look very sweet.
All 16 of them.
In King's Quest.
But you could tell as they moved along.
I love Graham's.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love Graham's look. He's got a little adventuring hat. It's like you can tell this little blue hat with a red little, not a feather maybe, but maybe a feather. He's got a vest on apparently. So and it's kind of like a pink or salmon color. Then he's got like a red shirt underneath that and some nice little blue jeans and
he's rocking
feet that. Some weird looking booty feets that I'm just not sure about.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about those booty feets.
Right,
but he's moving like a guy with a mission, and that's what you want out of stuff like this.
Yeah, he's definitely giving me that Robin Hood era type vibe, right? Oh, Fairy tale era.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. This is not high fantasy. This is like very. No. Hey, remember the. Sword in the stone kind of stuff. Here it is. That's what we're doing.
and boy does Graham walk fast. I mean, oh my God.
No, he's slow.
Going from
shit.
All these screens. He's super slow.
Yeah. It's the worst. This is my biggest complaint after messing around with it this week. Then I guess we didn't have anything to compare it to, so whatever. But that dude does not move fast enough for my taste at all.
It's kind of funny because he moves about the same speed as Jumpman and Donkey Kong, but Jumpman is bouncing the whole time, and this guy's, he bounces too, but it just seems like it takes forever. Wow, you fast forward it all the way to the end, he's fighting the giant. Spoiler,
yeah, you gotta fight
Graham
a giant.
Fights a giant.
Yeah, don't worry, I think we're out of spoiler range on a game this
but time. I, you hadn't even showed the leprechauns. No. I spent more time playing King's Quest 1 than all the rest of them together. I kind of skim through two. I hit a little bit of three for a
I only watched
bit.
Video.
Three takes a turn.
I played a little one and then watched video for everything else.
Then you really missed out. That's too bad.
Hey, look, I'm That's not, I've got, okay.
I
let me,
got
put, let me put
to
it
do.
This way.
You.
Sometimes we'll talk about a thing. We talked about Metroid and then I dove hard into Metroid Fusion and I couldn't stop. I'm still playing it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Couldn't stop. Show ended. Didn't care. I was going to go play more of it. In this case, I am not really driven. What King's Quest and digging into this for the show did for me is it made me want to grab a bunch of modern games, adventure games that are based, that use a lot of these same evolved sensibilities, mechanics, whatever, and play those. That's what it did for me. It did not make me.
Right.
It made me appreciate this and go, oh man, I'm so glad that we're in a world where King's Quest existed. I'm so glad this broke so many rules and introduced so many new ideas. And it's such a creative effort, especially with a small team. It's like amazing. It's like her and her husband or something. It was like nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. It was when it started out anyway, especially the first one, it was Roberta Williams and Bill Williams. And but then they did eventually have a staff because this got licensed for the IBM PC Junior based on some other work they had done. Yeah. And so they ended up getting a programming staff and some people. Roberta Williams, absolutely the biggest part, developer, director of this, but she had help, I think the budget was like $700,000 for the first one. Golly, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for back then.
Early 80s, right?
For a game project.
Took like 16 months or something. So it's pretty freaking amazing. What they got done.
No,
so,
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, they founded Sierra and made a shit ton of money when they sold it, and good for them.
Right.
That's how you have good your ranch them. In Mexico.
It was Ken Williams, right? Was it Ken Williams?
Ken,
or Ben Williams?
I forget. But Chats, they were in that. They Chats were in that argument. Thing. That documentary we saw. High Score, was it? Is that what that was called?
I think it is High Score. Roberto Williams and I thought it was Bill. Now maybe I'm getting it wrong. He was a programmer for IBM. And they were married, and he brought home, I remember this from the documentary, he brought home like a terminal to hook up to the IBM mainframe, and she got to play Colossal Cave Adventure, which is a huge game if you're not familiar with that one. That is all text. That's no graphics at all.
Yeah,
that's a text adventure right there. And she loved the difficulty of it because it was brutal. Mm-hmm. Brutal.
Yeah.
And they put they put that in here, the puzzles and stuff in this game, and the probability of dying
was high.
Really high.
Yeah, very high. You can bork yourself in this game a lot, and there's no save states, right? You're just screwed.
So this kind of progressed from the PC Junior, and then as it got released, they had a couple of revisions that went along. And I think, yes, eventually you could save, and I think it was even some menuing system. I couldn't get the absolute original experience that I was trying to read about. I couldn't do it. So I'm not 100% sure on that. Okay. I didn't dig that deep.
Yeah, well, look, dig deep. These things have endless holes to dig, and sometimes we can't dig that deep.
I end up playing most of these using – I got it from Good Old Games, and it comes with the Scum VM. But then I started I made the mistake of finding out about speedrunning on King's Quest 1. And they suggest you use the DOSBox version because then you could unlimit the CPU cycles, and then you could do these things called SIPs, mm-hmm. where you could – literally, you know, put the game in the fastest speed. We talked about how slow it was earlier. There was an ability in the later revisions, and maybe even all the way back to the original revision, where you could adjust the speed to go faster, mm-hmm. and you could set it to fast, and the character would literally just, because of the CPU matching the game speed, would just fly around.
Yeah, you just flip zip around.
And so people have figured out a way to do that, and I think the time on it is it's insane how fast people can run this thing.
I'd like
under minutes.
Oh, really? I want to see. I actually wouldn't mind watching some speed runs of this.
I actually watched some speed runs and learned how to do some of the zips because I was kind of fascinated because I was like, maybe this is the speed run game I want.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, let's look at this grouping here. So we got. So everybody understands how far this went. King's Quest, PC, 1984. Okay, that's your original. That's Roberta Williams going, yeah, I got this idea and doing her thing. King's Quest, Quest for the Crown, 84, 87.
Yeah. All right. King's Quest. Actually added the subtitle because originally it was just King's Quest.
Yeah, it was just King's Quest, but essentially the same game is my understanding, mm-hmm. right? Then we got King's Quest, Quest for the Crown for the Sega Master System in 89. I don't know how that worked. I haven't looked.
That was actually the first one I played in my review. Oh. I had it on the Anbernic handheld.
Tell me more.
And instead of typing out things, you had a selection list. So you would have like a look around, mm-hmm. And if you were in a certain area where an object was, you were trying to get, it would tell you, get like carrot, mm-hmm. or and that kind of stuff. So it made it a lot more. It made it a lot easier to play.
I'll bet it's
much
a fun,
less chance of screwing yeah, up.
A more fun experience potentially. Here it right. is, some video. Oh yeah, look at that. You got just basically a whole bunch of. Well, they give you a lot of choices though. Wow.
Yeah, they do give you a lot of choices. That's how many choices are in. This is what's so fun about text parsing. Is there are a lot of choices in the text parsing. There are a lot of things you can say, and you're supposed to. The player is supposed to try to use all of their senses, and you probably never thought about using smell or or listen. When you're doing these, because usually you're thinking directions, looking, picking up, that kind of thing. So,
right. I think this would be a fun way to play it. This was
a lot of fun. It's the graphics are a little bit, it looks a little bit nicer. I mean, this is still the Master System, but this is a little further on.
NES era looking stuff. Ooh, was that Sonic the Hedgehog? Yeah. Nope, he's some kind of dude. I don't know who that is.
I think that's the elf. He's the blue elf. Look at him. He's so freaking awesome. I love him. He's like got a blue hat on. He's got all the colors on.
Yeah, he has definitely got that. After that, you got King's Quest II, Romancing the Throne, as 85, 87. King's Quest III, Heir is Human.
By the way, if you didn't know this about this whole series, all of them had to have a clever pun name. And I don't know why Quest for the Crown was the first one.
Well,
they were going to do the puns by 85.
I don't think they got as. I don't think they knew they were how goofy they were going to get till later, because they did get pretty goofy with this series.
Right. I'm sorry. Now continue on.
So, Heir is Human is spelled H-E-I-R. So, there's your joke. King's Quest IV, which is called The Perils of Rosella. I guess that's kind of a boring name.
It is. I was trying to get the pun on that. Rosella is the twin daughter of Graham.
Oh, Graham's got a twin daughter in that one, doesn't he?
He has twins. He's got King's Quest III, to Heir is Human is his... Spoiler is his son, mm-hmm. that doesn't get revealed later until the game. And then his twin sister is the main character in King's Quest.
Oh, another spoiler. Queen's Quest. Yeah.
I would play Queen's Quest.
I'd play Queen's Quest.
Queen's Quest.
Yeah, Queen's Quest. Let's get in there.
That's the new take. Yeah. There you go, Microsoft. You are welcome.
Yeah, I like it.
Queen's Quest.
There you go. After that, you got Absence Makes the Heart Go Yonder. I love that one. Yeah, that appeared in 1990 as King's Quest V. Now I'm saying Queen.
Right.
It is also on the NES just as King's Quest V. That came out in 92. And that's right. When things went point and click. That's when that started.
And actually it was, and since it was on the NES, so 90, the PC version looked a lot better than the NES version because we were late in the cycle of NES in 1992.
Yeah.
And so they have different graphics, and it actually felt like a step back. It was really kind of weird.
It is a little bit weird. The one I'm showing in the chat right now is actually from 7, which had these weird FMV. It's not though, because it's still pixel art, but it looks like Disney animated or something.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I find it uncomfortable to watch.
What's his name? Did all the
like Dragon's Lair and stuff.
Yeah. It looks like Dragon's. That's what exactly looks like.
This there you go. Except a little more low rent. Like, I don't think it looks very good. I think it's kind of bad.
It's right on the edge of flash animation. Right. This is 1994. So it's getting there.
Yeah, Don Bluth is the name we were looking for.
Don Bluth.
I should know that. He's a freaking Utah connection. Guy grew up and went to school here. I don't know why I forgot that. Still around, still doing stuff. All right. Anyway, then you got your Gone Tomorrow. Get it?
Right.
And then the Princeless Bride came out in 94. That was the last one, which is the one we're looking at right here. That was also obviously part of the point and click era. And there were other games during that time of note. Space Quest, of course, we mentioned that. Police Quest. Did you play Police Quest? Because I did.
You know, I didn't. I did play the Space Quest. I was aware of the Police Quest, and I started doing some reading on that, and I was fascinated by that. The fact that they had a real police officer who kind of like guided some of these stories.
Yeah,
and things?
They had cops who were, what do you call that? They do it with TV shows all the time. They have a name.
Right. On location with cops.
It's
technical. Technical advisor, maybe?
Technical advisor. There you go. Advisors. That's it. Right. And chat room. Got it. Advisors. Anyway, yes, that is true.
Knows.
And it was great because it was this perfect playground for, you know, detective work, picking up items, taking them back, combining them. Like all of those, those mechanics that these games became famous for, Police Quest was like perfect for it. And it was so much fun. It was a fantastic thing.
Yeah, Police Quest was a little bit later, and it was all point and click, whereas Space Quest, the first two are text parsing.
I don't know about the second one, but
Definitely the first one is text parse, but then after that, it goes to the point and click. And that's where kind of me and Scott kind of, I think, maybe diverge a little bit, because I will admit that I did not leave this King's Quest 1 through... was it 4? Because they were all text parsing, and I am a text parsing fool. I program by day, by the way. I'm a programmer by day. I am Brian. I do other things too. And something about doing that typing and, you know, and the feeling of solving a problem through typing and conditionals, that excites me.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
Not as much.
I like it too. I will not besmirch your like of that because I'm also a fan. I think that's actually a really cool thing.
I think the mouse is the worst thing that has ever been invented. This is true.
I don't agree, but go ahead. Continue.
I have such a hate for my – I hate leaving my keyboard and using my mouse when I'm interfacing with a computer.
I get it. I do.
Maybe from
back
where
in the day.
Up.
Back in the day, dude, a keyboard was everything. Right. You just keyboard short. And even today, I keyboard shortcut the hell out of things. But I don't think we can say that the mouse is a terrible invention. I think the mouse changed everything.
I think
forever.
If the mouse hadn't been invented, I think we could have moved forward with some kind of keyboard technology or something that would maybe even be better, because it's such a break in my interfacing when I'm using the keyboard and have to hop over to the mouse. I can't stand it.
No, I love it. I think it's a fun philosophical thing. But right. I do love keyboard shortcuts. I do. I'm a huge fan. So I'm not gonna take that away from you. However, I like point and click from a visual person standpoint, if that makes sense.
Right. It makes the game much less frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get clues to what you're supposed to do, especially when games let you mouse over an object and, you know, maybe something changes or, you know, it's just much easier. Like if you want to go to a rock on a screen somewhere, it is a lot easier just to point your mouse to it and go click, and then your character moves to it, which they did like a combination. I think starting at 4, I think they did a combination of where you could do a mouse click and you could navigate your character, but you still use the text parsing to to enter the commands.
Did you ever, this is a side note, did you ever, was I going to ask you? I had a really good question. It was keyboard related.
Oh, the keyboard related. Now, one thing that is keyboard related while you're trying to think of that.
Damn it.
I really wish I could have gotten the IBM PC Junior original version of this game.
Yeah.
Because one of the versions had a keyboard overlay for like the shortcuts and stuff. And it was like, it had the artwork kind of from the game with these bold colors. And I'm like, oh, that would have been sweet.
That reminds me of how Intellivision games were, because remember those cards you'd put on top of the controller and it would change what all the buttons did. Cause whatever art you had. Yeah. We got to talk about that weird console.
I miss keyboard overlays.
Okay. I know what I was going to ask you. So right now we're all used to using QWERTY keyboards. There's the Dvorak keyboard, which is a little more like what would have naturally been the thing, but they had to build a keyboard that slowed people down because they were jamming up keys, because it's back in the mechanical days.
Yeah.
And I don't mean mechanical keyboards. I mean like, you know, actual typewriters and the feet would just because people are too fast. So the QWERTY keyboard that we're all used to was designed to slow us all down.
Right.
I guess it did its job. I'm still pretty fast with it, but nowadays where we don't have to worry about tangling shit up, have you ever tried a Dvorak keyboard? And has that worked for you?
I have been so tempted, but I have never tried one.
It would kill me. I'd get too much muscle memory. How would I do it?
Yeah.
You know?
It would definitely be a long progress of learning, because there's just no way. Because I feel like I do pretty good on a QWERTY. So
yeah, I do too. I think everybody kind of does, but I guess I'm jealous of people. Maybe some kids grew up homeschool or something. Some dad forced them to do a Dvorak keyboard, because those people are fast.
Yes.
Fast.
That's what these speedrunners are like, because they're like all shortcut key and stuff. You know, it's like they're adjusting the speeds, because certain parts of the game you can't zip, because if you zip, you'll die like immediately. So you have to slow the speed down and then increase the speed so you can get to certain parts of it. And it's fun watching those people do those speedruns and try to figure out the exact almost pixel location on the freaking screen to where to zip to next.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Pretty crazy.
Now,
yeah, go ahead.
It is crazy. But King's Quest, the puzzles and stuff. I love trying to figure out the puzzles, because
with all the old shit we played so far in 14 episodes. Rank King's Quest. Tell me where it's at. Do you like it?
As far as I want to go back and play it a million times, or it's closest to my heart.
Yeah, I the thing say you enjoyed the most. Maybe, I don't know.
I would say it probably falls after our. Probably going to go Castlevania, Metroid. I know I'm forgetting another one. Phantasy Star.
Oh, yeah. You loved Phantasy Star 4. You played the hell out of that.
Yeah. And then this. So it's pretty far up there. So far, what have we done so far?
For me, not that this matters. I don't know why.
Of course it matters.
I loved our first episode about Joust. I have a lot of deep feelings about Joust. I think the Donkey Kong arcade stuff was really fun.
That was fun.
And the deep dive into NHL 94 for some reason sticks out in my head, just because it's such a weird specific thing that we talked about. And then I'll admit, I really like talking about, I mean, I love Metroid and Castlevania, but I really like talking about Bomberman.
That's funny. I was going to say the only other one that kind of intrigued me that I never really visited was Bomberman. But I don't see me doing a deep dive, whereas I feel like I am going to need to finish the Metroid stuff. I got to get the latest Metroid. I'm going to need to finish the Castlevania stuff, and I'm going to need to finish the King's Quest stuff.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I'm still playing the Saturn version and trying to complete it of Bomberman of right. all things. Yeah. It's very odd. I didn't expect to be there, but there I am.
It's fun.
Now, what do you think? You know, everyone's talking about Monkey Island, and you know, if you want to,
yes,
we'll have a whole other episode about LucasArts games. Probably be more specific about a per game kind of coverage, because that's a whole other animal. But in a lot of ways, these games were contemporaries. At least the gaming mm-hmm. style of it. LucasArts coming later, obviously, to the table, but with the resurgence of something like Monkey Island. What do you right. think it would take to get a brand new King's Quest out the door at this stage?
It's really hard to say because something more than just gameplay is going to come into as being a factor here. We're going to have to really want fantasy again. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if we're going through a fantasy state. There's nothing right now that's like going making us really hungry for fantasy. I mean, there are some fantasy things out there, but probably more because of the gameplay mechanics than the actual setting. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need to, I don't know. When will we see something where, and maybe people are going to probably correct me and say, no, Brian, don't forget about this fantasy thing. But
yeah.
I just don't feel like in the popular conscience that we're, you know, heavy yeah. into the fantasy right this second.
Yeah. I have a feeling you're right. I could see Space Quest happening first.
I think I could see a Space Quest. Yeah. I could see a very funny, yeah. modern take on a Space
Not
Quest.
Not Space Quest. Space Quest.
Yeah, Space Quest. I would like to see more Grim Fandango because that is where my love – because I did end up liking the point and clicky stuff as well, adventure stuff.
Dude, Grim Fandango is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you compare one to one, I'm probably going to – at least for right now, I'm having a resurgence, a rekindling of love for the text parsing. But man, like Grim Fandango and those kind of games, I really dig those things.
Let me ask
those
you this.
Good. Now that you've
done all these amazing deep dives into Roberta Williams and her deep software career.
Yeah.
Would you also like to play the game Soft Porn Adventure featuring her on right. the front cover of the thing? What do you think of that?
I did see that. That is great. So there's adventure. Yeah. So, you know, if you know anything about Sierra, you know, we're going to eventually have to talk about Leisure Suit Larry. And so there's this whole. So Roberta Williams was around 18 in the early 70s. So she grew up in that whole free love. Both of them did. Roberta and her husband, they both grew up during this free love and, you know, don't be open with your body and be mm-hmm. nude and that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. so anyway, yeah, later on she did. She showed up as on the cover art for Soft Porn Adventure, which was a really weird thing for the Apple II in 1981. And I'm like, that's so weird. But I guess we always adult entertainment always ends up trying to find its way into those kinds of systems, especially early on, like Apple II. We knew he wanted personal computers, but we didn't know what did we want to do with them completely. What do you do when you're not balancing your checkbook,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Will you accept games on this really expensive piece of machinery?
Mm-hmm.
Will you? Yeah. And if you do,
yeah.
Will you play some? You know, will you play some adult things there? And I love that little. Bit, but it's funny way they described it in the picture. I remember reading it. It says Roberta posed nude, appearing from shoulders and above.
Yeah.
So in other words, her shoulders were naked.
Yeah.
She's in a hot tub or a pool or something like that.
It's
I think
tub.
From the
yeah.
picture. Yeah. And so she is naked, but you can't see nothing. I'm not sure. I never played the whole game, but is it also a text adventure? Is the text?
Oh
adventure
yeah, 100%. Right? We're looking at it right here. You start the game talking to a bartender. And right. it's all text adventure, 100%
you
your imagination.
You
got
to use your imagination for everything below the shoulders.
Yeah. I don't know which lady she's in or which lady she is in this picture. I'll put it up.
Oh, right I can now. Recognize her. She's a, you yeah, know, yeah. She's an attractive lady.
Okay. Who is, there's which one is she? Because yeah. there's three ladies and a bartender in this hot tub. Which one is it? Do you know which one?
She's the one on the right.
Far right? Okay.
Yeah, far right.
That TV, yeah. that TV they got back there, that's dangerous. This is water.
That is extremely dangerous. Knock TV into hot tub.
Yeah, don't be doing that.
That's what I would type.
I think what's awesome is that we always talk about, you know, what a men's club video games can be sometimes, and certainly historically yeah. speaking. I think it's very cool that Roberta Williams is like at the precipice of this like exciting genre movement way back in the day.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
You know? And then she even got to do King's Quest IV, which was The Perils of Rosella, which was the first graphic adventure game that featured a woman in that role as the lead. And she was very capable. If you play the game, I did play some of it. She was very capable, and I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's when they started using the new Sierra engine, I believe, because up until that point we had been using the older stuff, and this one had a lot more pixels.
Oh yeah, way more
which
pixels.
Which is great.
Yeah. Everybody likes more pixels.
More pixels, more dithering, more color.
Yeah. And I played for the record, I played that 2016 reboot thing.
Yeah, and, the chapter based 2016 thing that's on Steam.
It's okay. It's fine.
I think it's like $20 now. My son Andrew, he said that he played it, and as well as his wife, my daughter in law, and they said that it was a really good story.
It's okay. It's emotional. Basically what the Telltale games are in terms of. You know, it's not, how do I explain it? You know, they're like those Walking Dead games or whatever. Except in this case, you actually move this dude in like a third person action style. But then he has to interact with things, do, you know, puzzles and quests and all that stuff. I don't know if it's my favorite presentation of such a thing. They also use this like cell shading things, which is kind of all the rage back then.
Still is,
I guess. I'm playing Weird West right now, and it definitely looks like this.
Right.
But anyway, it's okay. If you find it and it's on sale, I think maybe grab it. I don't know that
and that looks
well.
Like in the scene they're showing now looks like they're taking a lot of stuff from the old King's Quest storyline, because that was like Graham. He was telling a story showing
through
the mirror, the magic mirror, which is plays a big part in the series. And Graham was coming out of the well, which is in the first one.
He's Graham, right? Isn't this old dude Graham? And he's got his old hat.
It might be. Yeah. He's holding the hat, and he's talking to a kid. So I'm assuming probably.
Yeah,
so
he's telling the old tales, and then you go play those tales is what happened. If I remember it right, it's been six, 7 years. So who knows? But
yeah, did you get to the well puzzle? Did you figure out how to dive into the well?
No.
I had to have Bombats.
Well, I don't remember if I did.
Gave me some help while I was streaming, because I had all the backseat driving when I was streaming that this week. I was like, look, I got to make my way through all of these.
Yeah.
You give me all the tips and recommendations you want.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
And they did.
Yeah. I'd like to hear what Roberta Williams thinks of this reboot thing. I'd just be curious what her take is.
Yeah, she wasn't really involved with it. I think that's...
Right. But if she saw it or played it or anything, I'd just love to know what she thought.
I know. Like I said, the last I heard, they were in Mexico, probably making another Leisure Suit Larry. I don't know.
Mm.
By the way, did you know that the guy who did Leisure Suit Larry, did you know that Al Lowe, he created the music for King's Quest II?
No, I did not know that.
He's actually a really capable musician.
Well, look at
that. I did not know this until I started doing I just thought he was a sleazeball. I didn't know he did other things.
Yeah,
it's a perv.
That's another one we got to get into, right? We got to do that.
And he was also the lead programmer on King's Quest III. By the way, did you play King's Quest III? You probably watched some of the King's Quest III.
Yeah, I watched some of it.
That's one of the more fascinating ones that I ended on, because when you start, you're playing as this, you're playing as a character that's not even any of the royal family, or so you think. And you're like a... You're kind of like the apprentice, the wizard's apprentice in that one. But you're more like his whipping boy.
Yeah.
Comes to find out later on that you were kidnapped and you're actually Prince Alexander of the Grahams.
Of the Grahams.
Of the Grahams. Doesn't know his last name. But anyway, you're Graham's son.
The line you're the Graham's grandson. Grandson.
Yeah, grandson.
Yeah.
So that one fascinated me, because it started using these time mechanics, and I couldn't get my mind around it, because the first two were pretty much, I mean, gameplay wise, were pretty close, similar, saying they made sense. Three totally took a turn. There's these time things where the evil wizard Monominom, his name is His name is Mananen. Anyway,
yeah.
Mananen. He has this, you know, he only leaves the, leaves if he he'll tell you, I'm leaving the house, yeah. And then you have to go run, do some adventuring. And then you got to hightail it back because there's, I think every 15 minutes or something like that. You have to go do a quest and then return with anything you have and hide it. Otherwise, that mofo chases you all over the freaking kingdom, and he'll just, it's so anxiety.
I hate that. I hate time-based mechanics, so I would not enjoy that, I think.
I didn't enjoy it at first, but I started kind of enjoying the anxiety of knowing that if I wasn't able to get back in time, he was going to show up. And through my little PC speaker, it's going to go, rah, 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 whatever the noise is. And then he just, you know, if you're carrying anything that's questable, then he'll kill you. He's a big old turd. So you have to try to hide it back home under the bed. And it was a real interesting turn for me.
Yeah.
And so, but at least it was still better than five? Which one was it? Which one was voiced by five, the Sierra people?
Oh, that was PC version of.
Was that four or five where they started? Where Sierra? That must have been five, I think.
I think you're right.
Where that five? Where they?
Oh yeah,
they
here had, it is. Absence makes the cart go yonder. Was the CD-ROM version was voiced by Sierra staffers? That is correct.
Right, and it is so obvious.
Is it bad? I should listen to some.
It is. Oh my God. Yeah. That was some of the audio I was going to capture because that one probably has the most cheesy lines. You got an owl. There's an owl who is notoriously hated.
Yeah.
And he like guides you along the way.
Let's see if I can find it.
He's such a turd.
King's Quest 5 CD version, full voice narrator. Here we go. Check it out. Wait. Okay. I want to hear this narrator.
Sure to check your inventory if you decide to skip.
It's already bad.
Skip.
Okay. We're skipping ahead here. Here we go.
You'll get some Cedric the Owl here very soon, I'm sure.
Who's this guy?
He's a talker.
Let's skip ahead. Okay, here we go. Oh, now we're in the credits. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the owl.
Here's the Cedric.
Yep.
I can tell you what happened. Oh, what?
Are you kidding? Are you talking again?
Ooh, I know what happened to your castle. I saw it all. Yes, I did.
Oh, my shit. That's this so is what happens. Bad. That's really
this is what
bad.
Happens when you get sound card support and you have your employee programmers.
Hello. I'm clearly an owl person. What's going on?
That's terrible. That's really, really bad. But that was the time.
It's bad, yeah. But
one of my favorite subgenres. My favorite things in this world is bad voice acting in video games. I love it.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get complaints out of me. You know,
yeah.
It's bad and I will acknowledge it as such, but I will enjoy the hell out of it while I listen.
It's so much fun to play. These are the point and click ones, 5, 6, and 7, because when you do 5, you got all this voice acting. It's just absolute. Look, they're really just doing the best they could, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just doing what they had to do to get it out the freaking door.
Yeah.
Now, but then by the time they got to 6, man, they started hiring real actors and, you know, they started having real voice actors and spending big bucks. This is the height.
They should redo that owl. Should go a remaster of 5 and get that owl redone because he's really bad.
Man.
Well, then what happened?
Long pause. Here we go.
Many long pauses.
It was the powerful and evil wizard Mordak who did it.
Mordak took the castle and your family and all the stuff. You're really screwed. It turns out it's Manamanon's brother, by the way. You're like, who's Mordak? And you're like, but there's all kinds of reveals. By the way, if you haven't seen AGD Interactive, I sent you a link in the Discord. Mm. They did a remastering and a new engine and everything for King's Quest 1, 2.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Did 3.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And so those things look kind of freaking fantastic, man. But there's so many redos. There's so many branches of this thing, mm-hmm. of King's Quest, those first seven, so beloved. There's so many different ways. Oh, yeah, they're doing,
AGD is doing 1, 2, and 3 remasters. Also, Quest for Glory. Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the Quest of Glory.
Elmo and stuff. The Lost Dutchman's Mine and Mage Initiation, yeah. which are other games that a couple of those are familiar to me. But,
right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, look at the redos on. This looks great.
Yeah. Oh, this looks so good. I would love a new Cedric, though. But I don't know. I don't think I want Cedric in any other form. Than a terrible, oh, I'm an owl.
Oh, check it out.
Owls talk.
This is some real bullshit. I'm a real boy.
I only want that when it comes to Cedric.
Well, I don't think five is going to get a remake, so who knows?
Right, I don't either. But 6, man, air today, gone tomorrow. That's the one that I came across that people seem to have loved.
People love 6
the most.
Yep.
They really love that one because it had the biggest production value. You know, we had the voice of the Beauty and the Beast voice, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we had the Beast. Mm-hmm. So we're doing all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. This one. What's his name? Can't think of his name.
Beast Man.
No. He's got a real name.
Man of Beast.
Man of Beast. Yeah, sure.
We'll get Man of Beast.
Let's see if we got any audio on this one.
And a gentleman. It would be best that you leave before there is any further embarrassment.
Okay, so a little more actory, you know?
Yeah, I feel more like we're getting into the Telltale era,
yeah,
right? I feel a little more, maybe some LucasArts.
Yeah. By the way, Leisure Suit Larry, their latest game, I just happened to see this while I was passing through these pages. There's a game that came out in 2020, all right? They're still making those.
Yeah.
Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Died. Sorry. Wet Dreams Die, but I can't even say it. Wet Dreams Dry Twice is the name of that. That's freaking gross.
It is sick.
Yeah, those guys are.
I love it.
Gross.
I love it.
I've never played a Leisure Suit Larry game to any kind of fruition. I've like poked in here and there, and that's it. I have no idea.
Right. What those games are. You poked in here and there.
I poked in. Yeah.
So, man, I was disturbed to see the number of porn parodies on King's Quest.
Is that true of everything, though? Like, you could search for freaking, I don't know. You could search for Peppa Pig and you'd get porn if you want. Yeah, that Rule 34 is in full effect on just about everything, and it sounds like King's Quest is not immune. Check this out right here.
Though roughly hewn, the cliffs do not provide regular handholds for climbing, and they seem otherwise impenetrable.
Oh, yeah.
See? I love that. Yeah. I even in the later ones, it is still so hard. King's Quest is always about not falling off things.
Yep.
It even all the way to the back is constantly like, okay, you got to watch your footing here because it's an adventure and you do have to watch your footing, but it's a little brutal sometimes. I can't tell you the number of times I fell and forgot to save. Oh my God, no game has ever needed save and save often more than this freaking game, because you know a lot of times you kind of know when you're about to enter into a bad part, right? You're like, okay, I need to save here.
Yeah.
I think I'm fisting a head into something bad, and you prepare. With this one, you can just be, you know, I'm going to walk over there and pick up that walnut. Next thing you know, you're dead. It's like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I'm dead. I should have saved again.
Some people want it to be that hard again, but basically it just forced you to memorize shit, and then you'd be okay.
But even that didn't help because random number generation is a huge thing, especially in the first couple of King's Quest, where you have to leave a screen and you come in and it's like, oh, the bird's here. There's like 60% chance or 75% chance it'll be there. Sometimes it's not, so you have to leave the screen and come back a couple of times. Sometimes you'll enter a screen, you're like, the witch shows up, and like, ah, it's a witch, run. So there's all kinds of just randomness in this game that seems almost at first like poor planning.
Yeah.
But in the end, you're like, yeah, I think this was, you know, if nothing else, it was at least one of those things in gaming where it's like, oh, there's a problem here for the player. Should we fix it or should we just let it be? Mm. And that will be the thing that kind of, you know, makes this game a little more tough.
Yeah, I agree.
And so this happened a
lot. Well said. And don't forget, everybody, if you want to still play these games, Good Old Games has it. Steam has some stuff. You can emulate things on DOSBox and Scum. And who knows? And that 2016 series is still out there. I don't know if they finished it.
That's easy to grab.
Yeah.
Good Old Games has 1 through 3 for like $5. And then I think 4 through 6. I think 7 still standalone unless you buy certain collections and that kind of thing. So yeah.
I have to admit, I'm slightly curious to try that Master System game. I just want to fiddle with
it. The Master System's awesome. It's on your, it should be on your Amber Nick.
Yeah, and I can also save scum that thing, right? I can go like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to save right here. And then I'm
A lot more casual. So I kind of enjoyed that experience because I was on the go. I ain't got time to be that concentrated on the go.
Yeah.
So
you got to move, man. You're moving. Shaking, moving, shaking, all that. All right. Let's get to Guess My Game. This is a game we play every week.
No, you guess my
game. We play some ancient mute sound, and then we try to guess what it is, and we usually tell each other what
year.
Yeah.
Is it Cedric the Owl?
No, it is definitely not Cedric the Owl, but it is from 1991, so you might think, oh, it could be some bad audio. I don't know, maybe. Right. Not really, but you'll hear it now, and you'll try to guess. So here you go. 91, all right? Here we go.
This does sound like an adventure, though. Is this Space Quest or something?
Oh, damn it, you got it. Space Quest.
Yes! I recognize
I thought I would throw you.
King's Quest all week.
Now where am I? You wonder aloud to non-existent auditory organs?
I thought maybe you would. I would throw you off because we just talked about all this stuff, and then you would look.
That was
like,
a good try. I should have.
No, you did good. You did exactly what you're supposed to do.
I should have made it more dramatic. I should have drawn it out more.
No, you don't. No apology. That's you did what you're supposed to do. So you did good. All right, well done.
I heard so much of that this week. I think I know all of that freaking audio and all those voice actors now.
Well, that's what I've done. Is I didn't think about this, but all your research that we did this week would have been a lot of hearing.
I was primed for it.
Yeah. So you just knew it the second you heard it. All right, yours is from 92.
And the question is going to be, will I remember what it was
that you gave me?
That I gave you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Play it. Let me see if I can recall.
All right. Let me clear my palate with this Capcom sound.
That's nice. Konami did something, too, didn't they? Didn't they make the NES version? No, that's not Capcom.
Oh, I don't know.
Konami did the NES version of the King's Quest.
Of Queen's, I didn't know that. They did the conversion on that. That's crazy. All right, here you go. This is Brian's audio. Let's see if I can guess. Okay, it's a fart. No, it's a chord.
X-Men.
Oh. Hey, I think this might be the X-Men arcade four-player game. Is that what this is?
This has been the worst. The most successful Guess My Games. How did I leave that in? I pulled a Scott Johnson. That's usually something you do.
Yeah, that is so
I know why, because I forgot. I know why I did it now. Dadgummit.
Well, I know why you did it, because this is like a preview of what we're doing next week. That's why you did it.
It is. Yeah. It is. But I use FFmpeg to trim the audio, and I made a mental note to start at 11 seconds. Past the X-Men thing, obviously, I didn't put the buffer in there.
Nope.
I should have went back and checked.
You definitely did not, but that's okay. I think it just makes us both winners this week. So,
winners!
Well done, everybody. Oh, I forgot to play the thing for it, so there that
Destroy
is.
It!
You know, I have a damn bumper for that, and I forgot to play it. All right, and it's definitely not Choplifter chat. Keep trying. All right, let's move on to... Ooh, we got one of these.
Welcome to the treasure room.
A couple of these. Emails, they come to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. This one's from Gabe. He says, hi, I own Valve Software and Steam. No, it's not that Gabe. Different Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, guys. My name is Gabe, and I love the show. Do you think you guys could do a show on Mario? Good luck, Gabe. Well, of course. I mean, we did the Donkey Kong games, but I don't think that's the same. I think
that's not the same.
We're probably going to have to do a more broken out thing where it's like, all right, we're going to focus entirely on Super Mario World. This time, another time we'll focus entirely on the original Super Mario Brothers or the second game too, which is weird. It's not even really a Mario game, but they slapped a bunch of art on it and called it Mario.
Right.
Like they all deserve their own coverage.
That's the thing I want to do, because we always try to take an angle at this, you know, because there's so much stuff about talking about Mario, but we got it. We love Mario so much. There's got to be a Mario show.
But there can't, there's just no way we get it all in one. So it'll be a per game thing probably, but, or, you know, a number of games grouped together. But yes, I guarantee you, we don't even exist without doing that at some point. So hang in there.
That's great. Thanks, Gabe. Send me my Steam, my Steam Deck.
Yeah, get him a Steam Deck, Gabe. Yeah. Me too, Gabe. Get us both Steam Decks, Gabe. I once again did not get emails for this round, so I guess I'm not on their list until third quarter.
Mm.
I don't know. And by then, do I even want one by then? I don't know. Do I?
I don't know. It's getting really hot reviews in the retro scene. The retro players are kind of liking it.
Yeah, the retro scene for it is pretty strong, which is what my first thought was when I heard about it. I was like, ooh, is this going to be the ultimate freaking retro box? It might be.
I think it is.
Anyway. Yo, my peeps, says Steve.
Yo.
Sure you're all aware, or I'm sure you're all aware, but there are a ton of great new games out for the NES that can actually be played on a real NES hardware or emulated. I highly suggest these three if you're interested. The first two you can actually order on a physical cart. Witch and Wiz. Okay, that's one.
Witch and Wiz. Okay. Yep.
I never heard of that, but I'm looking it up.
It's a witch and a wizard is short for wizard, right?
Yep, you would be correct. It looks like it's a side-scrolling. Oh, I like this. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Brand new puzzle platformer for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Young boy's been kidnapped by a dark sorceress. It's up to you, his best friend, a young witch, to rescue him, but it won't be easy. Over 100 levels of brain-melting puzzles stand between you and you solving them all, or whatever the hell that says. Oh, this looks great.
Yeah, and you can also, let's see, you can also play the emulator. So I guess you could purchase this as well as a digital copy, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know, $10 maybe? Yeah. I'm with you. I like the idea of the cart. I like that. The special edition is sold out, though. Daggummit.
I know. That sucks. Okay, how about this? We got one called Micro Mages. Also available. Yeah, that seems neat. He's got one here called BOBL. I don't know what that is. It's another itch.io.
I've seen this Micro Mages. I've seen that before.
Have you?
That was cool.
Yeah. BOBL looks like an interesting
Bobble.
Oh, this is neat looking. Look at the animation on this. Is this just running on NES hardware?
Ooh, I do like this.
Yeah, this looks
cool. Oh, that is neat. So it's kind of like a little ball that like...
Yeah, look at the physics.
Oh, little physics. I like that.
A little ripple physics in the water.
You don't think of Nintendo as a physics kind of console. But
no,
I guess,
not that one. I need to know more about... I'm going to play these games. It says also included is a link to... that covers all things NES homebrew. He sent that over as well. There's like a Substack newsletter about it. I'm going to subscribe to it. Thanks,
I'm
Steve.
Subscribing
this is
now.
Great. I love it.
Thank you, Steve.
The homebrew world is cool, and I'd like to do more in it. So thank you for that. We appreciate it. All right, Brian, we're just about done, but we got to let people know that next week we're doing the four-player arcade co-ops of the 90s. Think X-Men,
yes.
The Simpsons, TMNT, TMNT, rather. What else? There's others.
There are others, but those were the top three for me. Now, this is the 90s, not the 80s. We'll probably talk about Gauntlet. We usually talk about stuff leading up to games and then the games beyond, but we're primarily going to sit our big bird butts down right at X-Men, Simpsons, and TMNT, those four-player co-op games.
I have a very specific story about that X-Men game that to this day still stings. I'll save it for next week, but it's a real bummer of a story.
Does Rogue touch you in the crotch?
No.
Where's Rogue touch you?
She took my crotch power by touching my crotch. No, she nothing to do with her.
It took your big D energy.
It has to do with what I thought I was getting when I bought a game later that had the X-Men on it.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I can't wait to hear about this then.
I'll get to that
next
week.
Back to the arcade we're going, Scott.
That's right. Four-player arcade. It'll sound a little like this. Where is it? Here we go. This is from 92, so this would have been about the time you'd hear a little bit of this. Oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, more on that next week when we tackle X-Men, Simpsons, TMNT, and much, much more. In the meantime, if you like this show, and I know that you do, make sure you support us over at patreon.com/playretro. It's a chance for you to support your favorite retro gaming podcast and get lots of benefits for doing so. patreon.com/playretro is where you want to go. Follow Brian during the week. He plays a lot of these games and more over at Brian Dunaway on Twitch. You can find me at Frog Pants, where we do a lot of other shows, as well as any game streams I do. I also do there as well. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is our email address. PlayRetroShow on Twitter is where you can find out when shows go live and other cool stuff. So check that out. We'll be doing some giveaways there soon as well. And as always, all this stuff and everything else you ever need about us is over at frogpants.com/PlayRetro. Hey, Brian, anything else you want to add before we go?
Yes. Push rock.
Push I rock. Died. Did you put? Oh, you died again. Well, get ready to reload the save. Oh, there were no saves back then? Oh. Start the game just over, Brian. Start the effing game over. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
The biggest adventure game ever created.